Hey, another quick rant of truth with Tyson Harley. I'm Tyson. This one, we're going to talk about just something amazing that happened in the ongoing censorship of information of one of the best cited and best pieces of best information sources on the entire internet, as far as a great collecting and ingesting and analyzing great science on supplements, how it's just being shut down more and more, that information controllers have basically gone to information terrorism. And then also with that, I want to talk about, despite the smear campaigns of being irresponsible, what the type of thing that the same guy would cite. So that's the studies. So what I'm talking about is, I was telling my sister, as she was wondering if she had something, about, hey, remember, even if you have it, you don't stop your dosage. Oh, no, you certainly don't stop your preventive dosage of vitamin C, vitamin B, vitamin D, maybe even vitamin B, and certainly zinc and quinine. In fact, you certainly don't now just say, well, time to take cold and flu. Time to take Theraflu. I guess I got it. No, 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 no. The science is, in almost all supplementation, that there is a preventative dose, but there is also a treatment dose. So, because many people don't have the proper blood levels of something. So ideally you're taking, say it's 4 grams of something every day, but then you don't, and you're a little low. So the treatment doses are often a lot higher. So I tell her about this, but I'm not remembering, you know, numbers exactly. I'm giving her guesses on what I think the vitamin D, vitamin C, and so on. Turns out I wasn't too far off, but I said, you know what, just go look on some of my posts. And I also said a great place to look, but don't do it through Google, because they have censored him once, twice, now 3 times. He's had 3 shoes dropped. Go to Mercola.com. Now, this is a place where if you used to look up, what does vitamin D do? Or what should I take to help such and such? You know, what supplements, what vitamins, what minerals should I take to help such and such? It used to be 7, 10 years ago that Mercola.com would come up at the top of the list. Well, the first shoe dropping was that the algorithm that's so famous, oh, the beautiful algorithm of Google that looks for how many times a thing is linked, so it gives you some idea of just how legitimate it is. Well, never mind that can be a vicious circle, because the major media can link each other and ignore good information. So Google's algorithm isn't that beautiful, because you can't have it. You can't put a good specific web search very easy. It still gives you just these general vague connections that are more popular. But anyway, at some point they changed the algorithm to specifically use it as information terrorism, to censor. And to me, that should be criminal, because this is the public library of the globe, and information is key to a free society. So Google, now if you try to look up the same results you would have looked up 5, 7 years ago, you do not see Mercola. The second shoe dropping was Mercola, like others, on social media. Say maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's Twitter. Of course, people with professional accounts will go ahead and, you know, look at their numbers sometimes. And overnight, this happened to many people. All of a sudden, their traffic drops to like 4%. Now, there's no natural way for that. If you've got general traffic and you're a proven site, and the averages are a certain thing, it doesn't drop to 1/25th or 1/20th of what it was. It just doesn't happen. So that was an algo censoring. Well, now the third shoe is dropping. So I tell her, go look at Mercola.com. He cites things great. And I'm saying, Dr. Joseph Mercola, you cannot find better cited articles. You just can't. He will put footnotes, and then there'll be a list of footnotes at the bottom, and then you can go right to the links. He cites scientific journals, okay? But so I tell her, go ahead and look there, but I'm like, yeah, I might as well look. What do I find? Dr. Mercola talking about why he's removing all articles related to vitamin D, C, zinc, and COVID-19. This is from early May of this year, May 4th. And so he says, listen, I believe in what I do. I've been trying to give you guys as much information as I can, writing as much as I can. So, you know, to provide a counterbalance to all this, you know, global control stuff and the pandemic as their justification, he says, I have never relented to these attacks. I've never succumbed to these. I'm confident that in the court of law, I could defend myself. And that's absolutely true. He can, because he cites scientific journals. This is not hard. Okay, here's the deal. We are now supposed to believe that if I cite a scientific journal because I could be considered not, you know, hook, line, and sinker with the COVID narrative, that somehow that's supposed to be ignored. When I'm the one citing a valid piece of information, it's like the messenger, shoot the messenger is really how it goes. So he says, listen, I'm willing to defend myself in court, but now, he says, unfortunately, the threats have now become very personal and intensified to the point I can no longer preserve much of the information and research I've provided to you thus far. So effective immediately, much of the information on my website will be permanently removed. And so he talks about different groups that are basically information terrorists, like the Center for Science in the Public Interest, which is a partner of Bill Gates' quote, Alliance for quote, science. Both of whom have led campaigns aimed at destroying Mercola's reputation and censoring the information. But worse, another one, attackers, is HealthGuard, which ranks health sites based on a certain set of credibility criteria. And I can tell you, because I'm a Spock mind, I can see through the garbage. And this information is cited incredibly. That's how I look at information. I don't look at who's presenting it. Because again, the enemy of your enemy can be your friend. And that's what we miss so much. And that's what the left misses so much. It's like, well, you know, if the right is asking about all these rights, well, we know what the right's about. They're about hate. Yeah, but there could be some overlap with your interests. You know, that whole freedom thing? No, we don't want freedom because the right likes freedom. And we know what that means. It means they're racist and freedom is racist. So anyway, you know, but you instead have to say, okay, I don't care who's presenting the information. How is it presented? Is it convincing? Does it make good points? Is it cited? Can I go check on those sites? That's what you have to do regardless of where it is if you want to really have a clue of what's going on. So you say HealthGuard, a niche service of NewsGuard, is funded by the pharma-funded public relations company Publicis Group, which is in turn a partner of the World Economic Forum, which is leading the call for a great reset. Quick aside, hello, McFly. We had a COVID-19 panic, not pandemic, panic. Take out the Dems and all you have is panic, okay? It was never a pandemic, it was an epidemic. Take out the Dems and all you have is panic. So we have this COVID-19 panic, and then in the middle of it, all of a sudden we're hearing the term out in front of us, Trudeau from Canada going, the Great Reset. What? How about we just try to get over this? But see, those of us who were thinking mathematically at all said, okay, I said this many times, the reaction was a billion times, a trillion times, infinitely more than any other communicable disease. Everything was ignored as the basic fundamentals of science of communicable diseases. And besides that, everything was ignored as far as balance of risks and the effects of your approach. In the middle of this, they're literally called for a great reset. Hello? So HealthGuard is partnered with Gates Microsoft Company and drug advertising websites like WebMD and Medscape, as well as a Center for Countering Digital Hate, a cancel culture leader with extensive ties to government and global think tanks. Another quick aside, NGOs, non-government organizations. The crazy thing about, say, the United Nations and some other things is that you have these groups that are like, you know, supposedly voices of the people, and they have, you know, maybe kind of extreme views, but then these extreme views are funded. I mean, they get dollars. It's from the governments. And so it's really just a way to create an echo chamber with the appearance of independent voices. So this CCDH, Center for Countering Digital Hate, is basically the now vaccine information, I should say COVID information version of the Southern Poverty Law Center, where anything right of center might be called a hate group by Morris Dees and the Southern Poverty Law Center. So these idiots recently labeled people questioning the COVID-19 vaccine as a national security threat. Can I repeat that? Okay, it's not even the questioning, because most of this is, listen, you don't have to take it because you should be more prepared. Here's more information to make your immune system great. If I tell you 10 different ways to help your immune system, and there's studies all over the place, we'll get to them. I've talked about them untold numbers of times that say, you know, blood levels of this or that are the difference between a mild case and a severe case, period, of vitamins and supplements and things. So, But no, if I present that, does that mean I'm questioning the vaccine? If I've got 10 options and I go, well, I'm going to talk about 9 of them, does that mean I'm against the 10th one? Or am I telling you information? So this awful Center for Countering Digital Hate, CCDH, has named Mercola as one of the top 12 individuals responsible for 65% of vaccine, quote, disinformation on social media, and who therefore must be deplatformed and silenced for the public good. A couple of Novembers ago, I could see the domino falling when Alex Jones got deplatformed. It's like, do you think he's the last one? Now we have literally representatives and senators, the symbol, the position to have vigorous political discussion. Again, I've said before, among the 500 most powerful people on the planet as far as public officials. And we have senators and representatives who, no, Google goes ahead and dominates over them. They checkmate them. No, you can't say that. Okay, here you are. You can't say that. This is the problem. If the most powerful voices are the ones that are most likely to be put down and put in a little box, like media, like people who have effective voices, you might be in China. Okay, so yes, they say, hey, and in fact, after that, 12 state attorneys generals called for the removal of the accounts from these platforms based on CCDH's report after the CCDH thing. And two of those did an op-ed in the intelligence rag, Washington Post, called on Facebook and Twitter to ban the anti-vaxxers. Okay, but worse, no, that's bad enough, and it's bad. But also, there's another area, you can go read his article, it's on Mercola. And another thing is that a doctor, Dr. Peter Hotez of the Sabin Vaccine Institute, geez, I wonder if he's a vaccine extremist. You think he has maybe some axes to grind? Which has received tens of millions of dollars from Bill and Melinda Gates, created a report called Meeting the Challenge of Vaccine Hesitancy. Now, remember, anything can be renamed. Well, if you're not for it, then you're against it. If you're talking about other solutions, supplemental situations, then you must be against it. And it's really, again, it's the marketing room leading the science. And once they understand that they can bully, they will. Marketing will say, oh, geez, then, you know, we'll just call for them to be deplatformed. But wait for it. This Dr. Peter Hotez doesn't just say, hey, yeah, we've got to have good counter messaging. You think they can afford the messaging with their untold billions that they made from 100% government subsidy of the vaccines? I mean, you think about the money they've got, but wait for it. They must take direct, the United Nations and the highest levels of government must take direct, even confrontational approaches with Russia and move to dismantle anti-vaccine groups in the United States. Remember some time ago, Yeltsin said, not Yeltsin, help me out. Anyway, he's like, no, we're going to stop all this junk now. So they're back to more normal. Can't have that. We can't have different countries taking different approaches, and then we can see kind of like the 50 states approaches. We can see the incubators and what works or not. No, no, no. But on top of this, he actually calls for cyber terrorism against information. The task force should include experts who have tackled complex global threats such as terrorism, cyber attacks, and nuclear armament, because anti-science is now approaching similar levels of peril. Do you understand how tyrannical this is? Information is now perilous. Information is now perilous. He said it's becoming increasingly clear that advancing immunization requires a counter-offensive. Efforts must expand to the realm of cybersecurity, law enforcement, public education, international relations. High-level interagency task force reporting to the UN Secretary General could assess the full impact of anti-vaccine aggression and propose tough balanced measures. So he is calling for cyber attacks. Why is Hotez calling for warfare tactics? Do you understand this? You know how if you had a true enemy, and honestly, this Memorial Day makes me very, very angry, because remember the whole Constitution of protecting the Constitution against threats, both foreign and domestic. It's so ironic that any of these channels, any of them go, oh, here's the people who stood up for our country. You don't believe in our country. So anyway, go look that up. And then I want to show you really quick some of these articles that no doubt Mercola was talking about. And so let me find that real quick. I do have it up as a pocket article. A pocket article is just awesome. So this is on covid.us.org. I don't have the date on it because when I save things to pocket, which is a way to just save copies of articles on your computer that's free text, he talks about various different articles, various different studies. So go to this. It's again at covid.us.org. Don't use Google. Do use DuckDuckGo. You probably won't even find it here. And I guess the article is just called Vitamin D. So we got videos, we got commentary, and then we have names of some of these studies. Let me do the summary. Maybe I won't go to all the studies. So we're talking about how many different studies does he look at? 22, 24, 26. 28, 29. Some of these are more about, actually even more than that, 29, more than that. But anyway, let's talk about what some of these say. Okay, so he's covered some of this at the top. Having normal healthy blood levels of vitamin D reduces COVID-19 risk, including risk of infection. Like we don't know this. Vitamin D is well established to help you against viruses. Coronavirus is a virus. So therefore, it does overlap. So he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 studies say that. Of having a severe case, normal healthy blood levels of vitamin D reduces having a severe case. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Of needing 11 different articles. Of needing hospitalization. Hold on just a second. ICU care and or mechanical ventilation, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, as well as the risk of dying from COVID. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different studies. So it says experts recommend vitamin D supplementation as a measure against COVID-19, 3 different references, at a dosage of 10,000 IUs per day for a few weeks or a month, reducing to 5,000 IUs a day thereafter. As a measure against COVID-19 was 3 studies, and then that dosage of 10 for a few weeks or a month, reducing to 5 after, was 2. Doses of 10,000 a day are necessary to raise vitamin D levels in 97.5% of the population to optimal levels. Lower doses may not be as effective for everyone. And doses as high as 40,000 IUs a day are unlikely to result in vitamin D toxicity. So then, of course, vitamin D helps in any number of other things, is where some of these citations come from. They can help with reduces risk of respiratory tract infection, stroke, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, type 2 diabetes, breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, and all-cause mortality. So let's see here what else I want to tell you about. Well, you know, sunlight on the skin, of course, produces significant amounts of vitamin D, but the skin exposed must be more than the face and hands. Face, hands, and arms exposed to sunlight is minimum for reaching vitamin D normal levels. All right, so let's see if we can go to these studies. Here's one. Vitamin D supplementation could possibly improve clinical outcomes of patients infected with coronavirus 2019. This is in April of 2020. Vitamin D insufficiency is prevalent in severe COVID-19 cases. That is MedRxiv. I'm not sure what that is. There's a link there. The possible role of vitamin D in suppressing cytokine storm and associated mortality in COVID-19, MedRxiv. Evidence supports a causal, a causal model for vitamin D in COVID-19 outcomes. 2020, MedRxiv. Vitamin D deficiency is a risk factor for severe COVID-19, a convergence of 2 pandemics. You basically guess what that is. Most people don't have enough vitamin D. So they're saying if you solved one of the problems, the other one wouldn't be as bad. Patterns of COVID-19 mortality and vitamin D, an Indonesian study. The role of vitamin D in the prevention of coronavirus disease 2019 infection and mortality, aging clinical and experimental research. A certain type of vitamin D concentrations are lower in patients with positive PCR for SARS-CoV-2. So they're obviously checking against control groups that are not positive. Vitamin D and inflammation, potential implications for severity COVID-19. Vitamin D deficiency in ARDS after SARS-CoV-2 infection. I'm not sure what that is. Association of vitamin D deficiency and treatment with COVID-19 incidence. Sunlight and vitamin D in the prevention of coronavirus disease, infection, and mortality. And so on and so forth. So let me get to the ones where they went ahead and kind of gave a summary. of what these said. So here we go. Strong correlation between prevalence of severe vitamin D deficiency and population mortality rate for COVID-19 in Europe. Okay, strong correlation between prevalence of severe vitamin D deficiency. So these are the type of things that Mercola would have found. And because of it, he's getting cyber attacked. Also in the article, he said, you may have noticed my site was down for a while. That's because I got cyber attacked. So this is what we're doing with our government money now. We have tyrants calling for information to be suppressed, not only by plain old deplatforming, but if somebody gets themselves in a good situation where, you know, Amazon Web Services can't tyrannically take down their website, they'll just attack it. I mean, criminals at the highest level. So here's another one where low vitamin D increased risk adjusted OR. I'm not sure what OR is, but still increased risk. That's they use an adjusted measure of infection with COVID-19 by 45%. Okay, low vitamin D increased risk of infection with COVID-19 by 45%. So everything being equal, if you had a certain 100 people, and so let's do this. See if we can do it right. 45%. So let's say everything being equal. If you had a certain group and 100 people got COVID-19, well, and you found out that all those people had not low vitamin D, and then you looked at the another group with low vitamin D, instead of 100 people getting it, 145 people got it. Oh, and of hospitalizations for COVID by 95%. I mean, How much more dramatic can you get? Low vitamin D increased risk of hospitalization for COVID by 95%, basically doubled it. You're telling me that we have to worry about vaccines to have some kind of an answer? Here's another one. Low serum, certain vitamin D levels in patients hospitalized with COVID-19 are associated with greater disease severity. Results of a local audit of practice. Conclusion. We found that patients requiring intensive, I guess, ITU and admission in the ICU, he puts in brackets, were more frequently vitamin D deficient than those managed in medical wards on the floor, despite being significantly younger. Again, we found that patients requiring ICU were more frequently vitamin D deficient than those managed on medical wards, merely on the floor, despite being significantly younger. Here's another one. Prior diagnoses and medications as risk factors for COVID-19 in the Los Angeles Health System 2020 study. Risk factors included vitamin D deficiency, which increased risk of COVID-19 diagnosis by 80%. Let's see if this one gives a summary. It does. Vitamin D sufficiency reduced clinical severity and inpatient mortality. This is a study called Vitamin D Sufficiency Reduced Risk for Morbidity and Mortality. Blah, 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 in COVID-19 patients. COVID-19 mortality increases with increasing latitude by nation, and vitamin D blood levels decrease with increasing latitude. So what they're saying is it's more about, you know, whether you're getting enough sun. So there are two ways to get vitamin D, supplementation and food, and then sun. So what they're saying is if you increase the number and the latitude, therefore you're going further north, the mortality increased. And vitamin D levels decrease as that goes up. So there's your correlation. Interestingly, they don't get enough sun. Also, the blood levels go down the further north you go or the further south you go if you're in the southern hemisphere. Blood levels decrease. And so the authors propose that low levels of vitamin D increase COVID-19 mortality. Here's another one. A survival analysis highlighted that after 10 days of hospitalization, severe vitamin D deficiency patients had a 50% mortality probability. While those with vitamin D equals 10 nanograms per milliliter had a 5% mortality risk. Do you hear that? Severe deficiency. Patients had a 50% mortality probability. While those with vitamin D equals 10 nanograms per milliliter, 5% mortality risk. 50% versus 5. So, and again, remember, I want to explain very quickly and just emphasize. And that's why, remember, you could be in the hospital for a period of time. And I know someone who was in the hospital like 6 weeks. We thought they were going to kill them. Because, you know, if you put people on the ventilators incorrectly, they die. So You know, the idea is that you can increase serum blood vitamin D levels, so you should be doing it in clinical settings, but a lot of them don't. They just don't do it. It doesn't matter about the science because the sales pitch is too important. All right, let's see. Here's another one. Association of vitamin D with a modulation of the disease severity in COVID-19 and virus research. Let me find another with a summary. Let's see if this title. Effect of a certain kind of vitamin D, it's a word for vitamin D, and best available therapy versus best available therapy on intensive care unit admission and mortality among patients hospitalized. So basically, they're comparing, let's give them vitamin D plus the best therapy, and then we're going to compare that to just those that got best therapy on ICU admission and mortality. And it was like a 97% difference, 90% less. Likely to go into ICU. I looked at that specific article the other day. Vitamin D deficiency and outcome of COVID-19 patients, Nutrients 2020. The quote, the present study demonstrates an association between vitamin D deficiency and severity of COVID-19. Vitamin D deficient patients had a higher hospitalization rate and required more intensive oxygen therapy. And IMV, I forget what that is. That might be the ventilator thing. In our patients, when adjusted for age, gender, and comorbidities, vitamin D was associated with a six-fold higher hazard of severe course of disease and a 15-fold higher risk of death. Now, what could be more important than either creating vitamin D from the sun or supplementing vitamin D? Because it's inexpensive and big pharma can't control it. Six-fold more likely to have a severe case if you're vitamin D deficient, and 15 times as likely to die. So when Mercola, you know, oh yeah, he cites these articles. All right, the link between vitamin D deficiency and COVID-19 in a large population. Let's see if we got another one with a summary. Nutritional status of patients with coronavirus. That one doesn't have a summary. Okay, vitamin D status and outcomes for hospitalized older patients with COVID-19, 2020 Postgraduate Medical Journal. The main findings of our study suggest that older patients with low serum concentrations, okay, so that's how much vitamin D do you have in your blood? They give a number. So that's the quantity. Just know that they consider that low. When compared with age-matched vitamin D replete patients, which means they got plenty of vitamin D, may demonstrate worse outcomes for COVID-19. Markers of cytokine release syndrome were raised in these patients, and they were more likely to become hypoxic and require ventilator support in HDU, which is high dependency unit. So I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. SARS-CoV-2 positivity rates associated with circulating. So when they say associated, they mean it passes statistical significance. Well, of course it does, idiot. We already know. This is why this redo of all the science is just stupid, because we already know it's a virus. And the effectiveness of having certain nutrients in your blood, this is nature, is proven beyond a doubt for viruses. So then we act like, oh, look at all the stuff we're discovering. You know, it's like, oh, wow. And then the other thing too is when you micromanage a bunch of studies, when you look at too much stuff, you're just seeing a bunch of things that other studies wouldn't show, because you're throwing many, so many sub studies at something. It's quite possible to, oh, this is unique. No, it's not. If you would have studied another virus enough, you probably would have found that same characteristic. You're just overstudying it because it's turned into a $1 trillion scam, a $3 trillion scam, a $7 trillion scam, whatever it is. SARS-CoV-2 positivity rates associated with circulating hydroxyvitamin D levels. Associated with optimum, this is a summary for optimum vitamin D blood level for reducing COVID-19 was found to be in the 50s. That's nanograms per milliliter. This is the first study to show that 25 at levels, I don't know what that means. This a certain type of vitamin D at levels above 30 have additional benefits. So what they're going to do with science, I'm going to do a quick aside, because there are some contrary studies, but what big pharma non-science does, and they want to dismiss all vitamins and supplements. I have a friend who has a friend in India, and I said, well, you know what I've told you, take your D, take your zinc, take your C, and take them in good doses. And he said, yeah, it's just not as available in India. So in some places, the tyranny of no, you don't really have a market for supplements is even worse, which means Well, first of all, the India thing at this point, it's not COVID. It can't be after 14 months. That nation is too densely populated. It's not COVID. It's overcounting. It's some other toxicity. It's some other disease. If you increase the PCR, we know that above 35, it just finds dead nucleotides. So we know you get a bunch of false positives. You shouldn't do it above 35, but the US for a long time did it up to 40 and 42 cycles. So we know that you can find unimportant amounts in the blood serum, or just find artifacts that aren't even really from COVID. So I want to tell you something, a quick aside. I saw an HIV medication deal just to help you go, yeah, of course this concept makes sense. The HIV medication commercial said, well, studies have shown that below a certain blood serum level, HIV does not pass on to other people. And so it's right in front of your face that no, of course, blood levels, or rather levels of a virus make all the difference in the world. I said it a billion times, but if it comes in and you barely get any, and it took a billion times, which is about what 2 to the 42nd does, it multiplies the sample by a billion times. If it took 40 magnifications, 42, and you multiplied it a billion times, then there was so little, it's no wonder you're asymptomatic. Okay, so I know this quick hit's getting a little bit long, but it's the idea. So if you want to keep listening, you can. The rest of it's going to be, you know, a little bit of commentary, but more. I mean, the idea that Mercola doesn't cite, I guarantee you he's looked at all of these. I guarantee it. I've seen his articles. Okay, compared to those with sufficient vitamin D status, participants with vitamin D insufficiency and deficiency had strongly increased respiratory mortality. So not just getting it with this garbage of sensitivity, but dying from it with adjusted hazard ratios, 95% confident intervals of 2.1 and 3, probably multiple. I think that's a kind of a nerdy way of saying they died at 3 times the rate, and they died at 2.1 times the rate, depending on whether they had insufficiency or deficiency. And 3 overall, 4.3 and 8.5 among women, and 1.9 and 2.3 among men. Overall, 41%, that's 95% confidence interval, a little bit of statistical nerdery, of respiratory disease mortality was statistically attributable to vitamin D insufficiency or deficiency. And there's one incredible study, so you might hold on and hang on for that one, about regular mortality. I'm gonna make sure I get to, I might wrap this up soon. I think you've seen the point. It's just everywhere. So let me see what that title was, the summary I'm getting, just so you can say. The title, pretty strong. Vitamin D insufficiency and deficiency in mortality from respiratory diseases in a cohort of older patients. Potential for limiting the death toll during and beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. So we talked about, yeah, 2 times as likely for mortality if they had insufficiency, and then deficiency is like worse, and 3 times as likely if they have deficiency. Overall, 41% of respiratory disease mortality was statistically attributable. 41%. Can you imagine? Do you understand that if 500,000 people die, that means that, 250 plus another one, minus about one-fifth of that, that's 200,000 less people dying. Overall, 41%. From vitamin D that we can all go get, and not a flipping dollar of this tyrannical plandemic money went towards even one PSA about that, about what vitamin D could do. And it could have saved 200,000 people per million. I'll repeat, overall 41% with a 95% confidence interval of respiratory disease mortality was statistically attributable to vitamin D insufficiency or deficiency. By the way, if they knock it down to a 20%, let's see, I'm doing that right. I think what they mean is 20% confidence interval, where instead of 95, there's 5. It's instead 80%. I think they meant 80%. They knock it down to 80% confidence interval, then it looks like 58%. 41% or 58%, depending on which confidence interval, of respiratory disease mortality was statistically attributable to vitamin D insufficiency or deficiency. Insufficiency or deficiency. Vitamin D insufficiency and deficiency are common and account for a large proportion of respiratory disease mortality in older adults. Oh, wait for it. Yeah, remember how we already knew that vitamin D helped against viruses? That's what they're saying here. It's like, it's obvious. Vitamin D insufficiency and deficiency are common and account for a large proportion of respiratory disease mortality in older adults, supporting the hypothesis that vitamin D3 supplementation could be helpful to limit the burden of COVID, of the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly among women. Okay. Vitamin D deficiency is associated with increased COVID-19 severity. That's in the title of the article. Prospective screening of at-risk groups is medically indicated. Persons hospitalized for COVID-19 were more than twice as likely to need ICU care if they had vitamin D deficiency. McFly, you're only half as likely to have to go to ICU if you're just merely not even deficient. So I think there's insufficiency and deficiency, and I think they're taking deficiency as the worse. So you just need to get up closer to the proper levels. Vitamin D status may indeed be a prognosticator for morbidity and mortality in patients with COVID-19. Journal of Medical Virology findings. Patients with low concentrations of a certain type of vitamin D in their blood demonstrated clinically relevant elevated markers of cytokine. Remember the whole cytokine storm thing? Hogwash. Other viruses probably do it too, but that was a big part of the press. Elevated markers of cytokine release syndrome and were more likely to become hypoxic. That means lacking oxygen, of course, and require ventilatory support. Now, they do go, hey, this is crazy. This is the anti-science type of studies. The same idea as, hey, you know what? We do a study, and calcium, you should take at least a gram, at least 1,000 milligrams a day. And more, actually, let me say, make that vitamin C. But yet the quote RDA is 60 milligrams, 60 versus 1,000. So what non-science studies will do is just ignore the other studies say it's got to be up in this area to even know that it's effective. You're not gonna boost levels at all at a certain low. So they'll do studies at a token level. Oh yeah, take 60. That's the RDA. And then they won't get results. And they'll go, see, vitamin C doesn't do anything. Go look up Linus Pauling and vitamin C. So anyway, here's one that's a contrary. Okay, so vitamin D concentrations and COVID-19 infection in UK Biobank. Check out this nonsense. This study used vitamin D data from 2006 to 2010 and looked at whether those patients were more or less likely to become affected with COVID-19 for the period 16 March to 14th April. Okay, so they didn't take the current vitamin D levels. They took the vitamin D levels. Apparently it was a survey. Did you get it? From 14 years before to 10 years before. So, and of course they bring up another thing. At that early a date in the pandemic when few persons were transmitting the disease, the risk of infection is more likely to be related to being a high risk profession or close association. This is back in April, you know, March and April. Well, shoot, things didn't even shut down. I know the government, didn't, you know, go to freak out mode until April 6th, really around March 20th, around March 20th. So that's very, very early. So yeah, it was vitamin D levels from 10 years or more. How more non-scientific? The point is what your blood serum level is now. And that was an actual study. Hello? All right. This is another contrary study. Oh, actually, it's not. This is really good. Recommended that people at risk of influenza and or COVID-19 consider taking 10,000 IUs a day of vitamin D3 for a few weeks to rapidly raise the blood concentrations, followed by 5,000. So I know I take, say, 3 to 5, depending on how much sun I've gotten. They're like, you know what? Most people are probably deficient. You should be taking 10 for a few weeks to a month. And for treatment of people who have become affected, higher doses might be useful. Just what I told you. I don't pull stuff out of my butt, okay? Vitamin D, let's see, supplement doses in the range associated with cancer prevention. After that, supplemental dose ensuring that 97.5% of the population achieved a serum level of at least 40, which is allegedly optimum, I suppose. It was 9,600 IUs a day. So remember I said I take 3 to 5 maybe. So I'm at 3 to 5,000. They're saying no, up that to taking nearly 10. Universal intake conclusion. Universal intake of up to 40,000 IUs per day is unlikely to result in vitamin D toxicity. So I'm going to go to the one that's more about, let's see, this one is not, it's another one. Therefore, from reviewed literature, so sometimes what people do is review given literature as opposed to do studies, so they can kind of try to, this is easy, not assimilate, but synthesize all the data. Therefore, from reviewed literature, it seems fairly appropriate to suggest taking vitamin D at 10,000 IUs a day as an adequate dose to enhance circulatory concentrations of vitamin D into the optimal range of 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. After 1 month, the dose can be reduced to 5,000. So you see that's a commonality there. That one was National Journal of Physiology, Pharmacy, and Pharmacology. Vitamin D, a cheap yet effective bullet against coronavirus disease 19. Are we convinced yet? So let's see here. And I'll give you one last one. There is another one, maybe one more. A systematic review. So large single dose oral vitamin D supplementation in adult population. That's a little bit different. A lot of times you don't necessarily take a large one. You take a decent sized one over a period of time to increase your blood level. Apparently this is more like single augmentation. So they conclude, a review recommends that vitamin D3 be used for supplementation over vitamin D2 and concludes that single D3 doses greater than 300,000 IUs are most effective at improving vitamin D status and suppressing PTH concentrations for up to 3 months. So that's that. And I'm going to tell you one more that's just, so we have a bunch that's vitamin D and other doses, other diseases. And it's, you know, it's a stroke, it's a cancer. Now look at this one. Rheumatoid arthritis. This is good. This is a 2004 study. Vitamin D intake is inversely associated with rheumatoid arthritis. Results from the Iowa Women's Health Study, Arthritis and Rheumatism. So what they're saying is as vitamin D intake goes up, rheumatoid arthritis goes down. And associated means statistically significant. It passed the statistical significance. All right, let's see. There's a bunch of good stuff. This is the one I want to leave you with. Lean Antonio. This is a 2020 study, 22nd European Congress of Endocrinology. Free vitamin D, but not free other type of vitamin D, predicts all-cause mortality in aging men. It's you can statistically find significant connection between how much vitamin D is in the blood and how likely men are to die, period, among aging men, whatever that group is. So forget COVID-19. I'm going to repeat that. Free certain type of vitamin D, but not free other type of vitamin D, predicts all-cause mortality in aging men. So 22nd European Congress of Endocrinology, 2020, Bioscientifica. So, yeah, so when you hear this garbage, that there's nothing to it, and those people who are, how dare you bring up something else? That means someone might not take their vaccine. Well, so what? Are we supposed to have free choice or aren't we? Just understand that these people are saying that, like me, like Mercola, they have dozens of studies in their favor for every single treatment. Vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. Going ahead and doing zinc with quinine. It's really the hydroxychloroquine, but tonic water has quinine in it. I have not looked up. I know I take quinine, the tonic water, to help with the zinc absorption, but I don't know really how much you're supposed to take. All right, that's it, guys. I know that was a very long, quick rant of truth. So maybe I'll just change it back to a scales of truth and just say it was a improvisational scales of truth. Thanks for listening. I think the next thing that I'll talk about later, it's incredible. I remember how we've talked about sensitivity ad nauseum, and we talked about it in this one. Well, it turns out that when they wanted the vaccine to look successful, and I've already talked, I believe I put up an article about what the studies for vaccine, initial look at the vaccine, the early results are as 90% effective, and they didn't even do a PCR test. They waited for symptoms. They didn't do a test unless you had symptoms. Well, remember the whole thing we've been beat into our heads is if you could not have symptoms and have it and be killing people, it's your fault. And I told you the big bait and switch is that you can have no symptoms and still have a disease that matters in the real world. So anyway, they did that and it's 90% effective. They literally said, big study, no need to do the PCR test. But the next level is this, and I give all credit to John Rappaport, I forget his website. I get his emails, Exiting the Matrix or something like that, John Rappaport. And he found that in the guidance for checking to see whether vaccine is helpful now that it's in the population is to do PCR testing at 12 to 14 cycles lower than the max. So we'll talk about that. In other words, basically rigging the results, because we already know you'd get, you know, one third as many if you bring down the sensitivity enough. And the sensitivity they used back when I talk about a New York Times article was a sensitivity that many of these people, when they heard states and other labs are using 35 cycles and up, they said, well, that's crazy too high. It should be 30. Yeah. What was it? Something minor from Harvard. That was one. You can go find my video. Said, yeah, no, probably no greater than 30. That's crazy that it's that high. And another person said, yeah, like it probably should be like even 28 or 27 or 26. And that's for, oh, wow, COVID is actually pretty successful. They pulled it down to like 27 or 28. So I'll give you the details on that. Thanks for listening, guys.